Hi, everybody. My name is Bruce McConnell, and I am Global Vice President of the East-West Institute, and I head up the Institute's Global Cyberspace Initiative. I'd like to welcome you to another edition of EWI Podcast. Today, we are live in San Francisco at the RSA Conference, one of the world's premier IT security conferences. The week-long event features over 45,000 experts, and today we are pleased to speak with one of the foremost of these individuals, Paul Koo, former Commissioner of Police in Singapore and Interpol President, and also now a member of the Global Commission on the Stability of Cyberspace. Paul, welcome to the EWI podcast.
Well, thank you, Bruce, for this opportunity to take part in this podcast.
So I thought we might start by talking a little bit about cybersecurity situation in Singapore. I know it's a leader in the region, and recently there's been some legislative activity.
Yes, Bruce. Singapore, of course, has a lot to lose if cybersecurity goes awry. We are a financial hub, also a transport hub, and these important attributes can be very badly affected if cybersecurity is not taken care of. As you know, in the financial world, everything depends on the internet now. And in terms of transport also, we are a transshipment hub, and our goods that come through the containers to our ports are kept moving, all because of digital transformation of the port. So we are very concerned, not only about IT, but also about OT. And of course, Singapore has ambitions to be one of the first few smart nations. And one of the greatest threats, of course, is the cyber attacks on the IoT.
Absolutely right. In addition to IT, as you say, the operational technology is integral to all the control systems and the traffic flows and everything in the smart nation.
Yes. And that's one of the reasons why we've introduced the Cybersecurity Act of 2018, which was just passed a few months ago. Indeed, we floated the bill for consultation, and there were a lot of comments from companies from all over the world, as well as individuals. And we had to delay the passing of the act because it's always good to get feedback. We made our definitions more precise. Mm-hmm. For example, we had to designate certain computer systems as critical infrastructure. And the comment was that, does it also apply to the supply chain? That means that if you are a provider, like someone who's supplying the data storage or even the transmission of the data, are you liable? Mm. And this has been now clarified that they are not liable, because I know that in some countries which have left this open, it's caused a lot of anxiety. We've also made it compulsory for companies which have been the subject of significant cyber attacks to report. Then there was this controversy about what is significant. So now the regulator has to actually define what sort of attacks would be reportable cases. Mm-hmm. So we benefited quite a bit from all these feedback, and the act is now being operationalized. There'll be an appeal channel if a company thinks that it should not be included as a critical infrastructure, or if it should not be forced to be subject to an audit or even take part in an exercise. Then they have the right to appeal, and we'll have an independent body to ensure that the appeal is properly considered.
That's great. Well, it seems like it's going to be a model law in the region. And I know that Singapore is very active in the ASEAN region right now and in the ASEAN organization.
Yeah, indeed. We don't set out to be a model, but we just want to have the best for people in Singapore and for all the businesses that are going to come to Singapore to work, and also to help us grow our ecosystem. But of course, this year we are the chairman of ASEAN. This goes by rotation annually, and we hope to push the cybersecurity agenda. We, of course, would like the rule of law to prevail, and therefore we are contemplating getting the other ASEAN members to commit to a form of norm behavior. I think you're familiar with this issue of norms.
Absolutely, yeah. So we're talking here about the ASEAN, of course, the Association of Southeast Asia Nations. And as you say, norms of behavior in cyberspace for the activities of states, what is permissible and what is not permissible for states to do, like we have for other weapons under the Geneva Convention and things like that. It's an avenue and an area that is still being debated.
Yes. Fortunately, there were some agreed norms through the UN government group of experts. And I think one sensible way is just to choose whatever was the latest addition that was agreed to, and then try to keep to that. But we know that that's not sufficient.
But it's definitely a good start. I mean, among those norms, of course, is that states will not attack each other's critical infrastructure using cyber weapons, and that they will respond when one country asks for assistance for attacks coming from another country to reduce those attacks. So I think it's definitely a good basis for proper state action.
Yes. And of course, through the work of the GCSC, which we are both fellow commissioners, we are going to introduce some more, well, I wouldn't say they are norms, but they are probably better stated as how norms can be operationalized.
Right. No, I think that's right. Yes. Well, let's turn to the Global Commission on the Stability of Cyberspace, the GCSC, which has been in operation now for about a year and a half, I guess. And one of the major accomplishments, of course, is the call to protect the public core of the internet. And it's a good example of what you're talking about, the operationalization. So it's kind of an extension of the norm that states should not attack critical infrastructure. But it gets to the underlying definition of technology that allows all of us to use the internet, the routers and the naming systems and things like that.
Yes, what I found fascinating about the GCSE is that it's got so much diversity of information and wisdom contained in it. I'm especially happy that the private sector and the NGOs are also involved. As some of you may realize, when you say core, what do you mean by core? You know, what exactly is included in the core? And I found it fascinating that we have people who are able to actually define what are the critical infrastructure that defines the core.
Right. It's a mix of legal and policy and technical expertise. And as you say, it's a multi-stakeholder, multi-sector group from all the major cyber powers and chaired by our great chairman, Marina Kaljuran from Estonia.
Yes. Well, it's not all cyber powers, right? Because Singapore is a small country, and so we have quite a few other countries which cannot be classified as a cyber power.
But the majors are there and some others.
Yes.
Some other very important countries. So, the Commission's going to meet again next month in Bratislava, and we expect to do some work, I think, on the security of electoral systems, which is a hot topic in the United States, certainly, and elsewhere, as well as in some other areas.
Yes. The one I found fascinating was the vulnerability equities process, which of course the United States has committed to, and we hope that other nations will do so also. In fact, this morning at the seminar on ransomware that I attended, one question was asked, you know, about why will countries allow vulnerabilities to go undetected by the manufacturer? And this very issue was brought up, that with this process in place, there'll be a balance between what you do for cyber deterrence as well as what you do to protect the safety of others who use the software.
Exactly right. So that countries will have a system of asking themselves when a cyber military arm finds and discovers a vulnerability that it could exploit to attack an adversary, whether it's the nation and whether the ecosystem is better served by notifying the manufacturer or keeping the vulnerability secret for later use for offensive purposes. We wish they would just tell the manufacturers about all the vulnerabilities, but at least there's a process to evaluate the impacts.
Yes, indeed.
What are you finding so far about the conference? What do you hope to get out of the conference here at RSA this week?
Well, actually, I was instrumental in bringing the RSA Asia Pacific and Japan conference to Singapore some years ago. And I've always wanted to attend RSA in San Francisco. And this is my first opportunity to do so. The scale is about 10 times what it is in Singapore. And I find that here we get a lot more heavyweights, the CEOs and chairmen of companies, as well as government officials who make it a point to come and network. And when I say government officials, I mean from all over the world. And I thought this would be a good opportunity not only to find out the latest findings and developments in cybersecurity, but also to network with the people who make important decisions and policies. I will also look for new products in the exhibition. I'm told that many companies that are going to claim that they have the solutions, and some will claim that they are better than others. So it'll be good to just listen to them and find out more about them.
Absolutely. In so many ways, it's a target-rich environment. So I think that's the main reason why most of us are here, to see all the other people and what's going on. Before we close the show, I'd like to again thank Paul Koo for sharing his insights today. Paul, we appreciated you joining us and enjoy the rest of the RSA conference. Look for our podcasts on our website, on SoundCloud and iTunes under the name of East West Institute, where you can listen, follow, and subscribe so you won't miss our conversations. Thank you for listening.